Pesach Yisrael speaks about the difference between the first bais, the first bais hamikdash, and the second bais hamikdash, and the difference in the nature of those two plates, of those two bate mikdash, influence the behavior of the people of Am Yisrael at those two different times. And Memele, we find that the reason for the destruction of the first bais hamikdash was different than the reason for the destruction of the second bais hamikdash. So we know the first bais hamikdash, the Gemara says in Yuma, there were three averis, three transgressions: avodah zorah, gilui arayos, and shfichus damim, idol worship, blood spilling. And immoral sexual behavior. These three averas were the cause of the destruction of the first bais hamikdash. And because of that, there were three different levels of destruction in the bais hamikdash in Yerushalayim, as the Gemara says, because the three averas, biglolam, because of those three averas, there were three decrees within the destruction, three levels of churban. As it says, Tzion sode techerash, Yerushalayim liyim tiyeh, v'harabayis lebomos yar, that the place of the Beis HaMikdash of Yerushalayim was distinguished, and the intensity, the severity of the churban was distinguished in three different categories. Tzion, which is the mamash, the place of the Kodesh Kodoshim, that was utterly turned over. Sodenech techrash, it was turned over as one works the soil, as one plows soil and turns, actually we was in English also talking, you turn the soil upside down, that the whole thing was a hipuch, a mahapecha, the thing was completely destroyed. Yerushalayim liyim tiyeh, and Yerushalayim was desolate, v'harabayis lebomos yar, and the harabayis turned into a wild overgrowth. Avo migdash sheni, but the second base on migdash, says we know, the Gemara says we know, they were oiskim b'terub b'mitzvus gemilus chasodim. They did not three averas, they had three mitzvahs: Torah, gemilus chasodim, and ma'aseh mitzvahs. They had three avodah amudim, they had Torah, avodah, and gemilus chasodim. Why was it destroyed, the second base of Mikdash? Because they displayed Sinas Chinam, they behaved in a fashion which demonstrated that there was Sinas Chinam. I don't know what Sinas Chinam is, that's the truth. I'll tell you the truth, I really don't know what Sinas Chinam is. Everyone talks about Sinas Chinam, Sinas Chinam, Sinas Chinam. Well, what's Sinas Chinam? I'm not sure what Sinas Chinam is. It's a whole sugi b'fina atzmi. But obviously it's some form of, It's a social infirmity, we'll call it. It's a social infirmity. There's something wrong with the relationship between Adam and Chaveiro. Not necessarily completely baseless. What do you think? People just went up to each other and said, "Good morning, I hate you. Good morning, I hate you. Good morning, I hate you." But they had Gemilus Chesedim. It says they were going Mochesed. So what was it? Gemilus Chesed with Sina, and Mitzvahs with Sina, and Torah with Sina. What was the sinas chinam that was so severe that Rav Hashem took away the Beis Hamikdash? So the different commentaries, this is not really the subject of what we want to go into right now, but the Beis Halevi says that the Netziv says the same thing, almost the same thing, that the problem in the second Beis Hamikdash was minus. Was apikorsus. It was in this time of the second base of Mikdash that new shitas, new forms of Judaism, there were attempts to create new forms of Judaism by Tusim and Sdukim, and later on we find even worse things coming out of these groups and other groups. It's minus. The main problem was minus. So the Netziv says that they didn't hate each other just for no reason, just get up in the morning and say, "Dear friend, I hate you." But they suspected each other of minus. there was such a it was such a nega. It was the it's like during the only thing we could compare to it perhaps is the times of the Haskalah in modern history, when every day Chadoshim Labakorim, there were new people and new families that fell away from the mainstream of Klal Yisrael and abandoned. If you look, I don't think it's open anymore, but there was a museum in Tel Aviv called the Diaspora Museum. I don't think it's open anymore, but you go look at that videos, old videos of Vilna and Varsha, before the war. You think, pictures of Vilna, everybody sitting in the cloisters of the Vilna Goyim, or in Varsha, everyone sitting at the Chasiv Shatish there. It's full of friars. It was full of chilonim. It was full of people who were very, 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 very far from Torah. And here and there were vestiges left of Taras HaKodesh. And the more west you got, the worse it was. But Koponim, in the times of Bayis Sheni, maybe perhaps it began to look like that. It started with the first, as Avudna Zatal talks about, the first, the Misyavnim. What's Misyavnim? There were Jews that were Misyavnim. What's your term, Misyavnim?
Hellenists,
right. Hellenists. They wanted to be Jews, but they wanted to be with the Naya Knech, a Misyavin. Right? I want to become something different. They wanted to become like Yovan. Yes, the Misyavnim, and then later on, all different types of, I want to be Jewish, but with this Knech, with that Knech, with this style, with that style.
Modern.
Modern Orthodox, modernism, whatever is we better edit that out of the digital recording here. That's the mile of digital recording. That's the word you can take out the stuff that's not popular. I call Pony. You have the Zionists. That one should also get out. Haim Moshe, take that out. The Zionists. all the different types of. What's it? Torah im mado, right? That's why you, right? Torah im, it's Torah with. It's always, we never it's just Torah. The only Torah im we know is Kutcher Bichu v'Raisi V'Yisrael Chatu. That's Torah with Am Yisrael, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those go together. But the Torah ims, the Torah with something else, as if it's like you're ordering it at a restaurant. How would you like your steak? With potatoes or without? Yiddishkeit Alvakam became a smorgasbord. What would you like to eat today? What would I like? Oh, it's me you're talking about. Well, then I might as well, give my whole wish list here. So that was the matzav in Bayis Sheni, that everybody and his cousin came up with a new shita to be choylik on the prushim. We don't know. The truth is, we don't know what the numbers were like, how many were with the Prushim, although I think Josephus, I think, writes the Rov Adam was with the Prushim, but I think at different times it wasn't so boro. I'm not so sure that was always the case. Prushim were the Rabbon? The Rabbon. What? Right. Could be the pshat in Josephus is that once the Romans came and the time was really, already you see you're going to lose everything. I said, okay, I'm academics. Now they're with the Prussian. Maybe that's the pshat. I'm not a bucky in Josephus, so I don't remember the exact muck or what is he referring to. Then the Gemara goes on to say, all right, so the Netziv says that since there was so much apikorsis, so much minus going on, anybody who did something slightly different was suspected of being an apikoros. You came into davening one day and you took your payas from behind your ears. You want to say, payas Yiddishkeit, whatever. Another guy comes in and he starts shuckling while he's learning. We don't shuckle while we learn. Go out, make yourself a new base of mitzvah, right? Go find another place. Another guy comes in, he's going to start wearing a short coat. Why are we wearing a short coat? We wear long coats here. There. Everyone suspected each other of anything slightly different. It could be had nothing to do with it. Lo dubi v'lo yar. It was nothing. It was his own individual cheshek. It could be he forgot to write the correct code. Whatever it was, people were quick on the trigger to character assassination, to commit character assassination. And that brought to sinah. So says the Netziv. That's what brought to sinah. But now the Iker problem is taka like the Beis Halevi says, there was minus. But because there was minus in apikorsis, so it created a tremendous amount of suspicion. And it was unfounded, the suspicion, quite often. Okay, so you live in a place where there's a lot of apikorsis. Doesn't mean every guy who walks around a little bit different than you is an apikorsis or the beginning of apikorsis. You know, we run around today, everything, people start running around today. Chodesh osher min haTorah. That's what I'm saying for a famous psak. Chodesh osher min haTorah. Chodesh osher min haTorah. Anything new is forbidden. Like, you're not allowed to have the new grain before the Hakrovas HaOmer. So some sefer said in many areas in halacha, new ideas are forbidden. You, if you're changing from the Masorah of Klal Yisrael, it's forbidden just because it's new. There were those, you know, how far this goes, there were those I was just reading recently who bitterly opposed the foundation of Agudas Yisrael, that the Chofetz Chaim was one of the main, the Chofetz Chaim, the Ger Rebbe, the Alexander Rebbe, the G'dolei Ador were behind it. There were other people that Chodesh Osir Min HaTorah. We never had an Agudas Yisrael that never should be. Like, they suspected them of doing something that's also, or the Dafa Yomi, there's still people at Ada Yom HaZeh who were against the Dafa Yomi. But in the beginning, there were big misnagging. Chodesh Osir Min HaTorah, what are you bringing so many new things into Klal Yisrael? And from these things came out Machloksim. Came out the dispute, and from dispute comes out Sina, and especially when the big people are arguing, Nicha. It starts filtering down to the littler people. The more it filters down, downwards, and width-wise, the machlokes starts being machlokes and starts becoming Sina. So the Gemara adds on, but that was the problem with the second Beis Hamikdash was Sina Schinam. Whatever it was, I'm not sure what it was. But it, we'll call it a social infirmity. There was as I mentioned once here, there was a problem that Yidden didn't like Yidden. That's a problem. When Yidden don't like Yidden, it's a big problem. And it's not an unusual problem, unfortunately. So the Gemara goes on to say, Rishonim shenizgalu avoinam nizgalu kitzam, the first Beis HaMikdash and the generations that occupied that period of time, their averas were revealed, were external. You could see Gilurash, who was domim, you could see what they did wrong. So since you could see their averas was something visible, was something external, Nizgala Kitzom, so it was revealed to them, it was clearly visible what would be their end, what would be the end of the Golus, that they were told it would be 70 years. There was explicitly stated by the Novi Shivim Shana that it would be 70 years in Golus Vofa. But the later Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, and those who occupied that period of time, it wasn't revealed their sin. Their sin was something which we still don't know exactly what the sin Tzchinim was, except that we know it's still here. Like the Gemara says, how do you know it's still here? It's Nu Aneichem Bebir. The Gemara says, look on Harabayas. If you don't see the Beis HaMikdash, it means the sin Tzchinim is still here. Whatever it is, whatever this social condition is, it's really not just maybe social infirmity, it's not right, it's a spiritual infirmity. It's something wrong inside. So the Gemara says, Loinis galo avoinam. It wasn't an external thing. It wasn't something you could see on the outside, this problem. Loinis galo kitzam. So Mela, you couldn't see the end. Where is the end going to be? When is the end going to be? When is going to be the end of this golus? So that's not revealed anywhere. If you know it, so you know what they say. Those who know don't say, and those who say don't know, right? Mechashve kitzin, tzipachatz moison, she mechashve kitzin. Chazal even cursed those who try and figure out when the end of Golus is. It's impossible to know unless you know Sisri Atura, like the Groz Megala, other swarm that they tell you, when the case is going to be. I can, show you towards the swarm. You still won't understand it. Right, because it's written in a way that it's lo nizgala. It can't be revealed. Even those who know, it can't be mizgala. So the Maharal has asked the question, which maybe we'll continue this over the course of the week. What was the difference between the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash? What, in essence, how were they different? So here he says something which is very difficult to understand at first, but I think as we go on, we'll be able to understand it better. The first Beis HaMikdash was distinguished in many ways from the second Beis HaMikdash. One of the ways, the major difference between the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash was the revelation of the Shechina, which was evident in the first Beis HaMikdash through the miracles that took place there, and that was not in the second Beis HaMikdash. So the Shechina was not Shura in the second Beis HaMikdash in the same way that it was Shura, that it was present in the first Beis HaMikdash. That's a huge difference, right? It's a huge difference. If you go to the Beis HaMikdash and you can see Keseder, you can see all these things that are happening there that are Lamala Mederech HaTeva. You can see the fire coming down in the Shemayim. You can see the pillar of smoke that the wind doesn't affect. That's pretty strange, huh? You're holding onto your hat and the smoke is not moving, right? And you know what rains are here. You went through winter here in Yerushalayim, and it doesn't do anything to the fire. It's pouring. I'm pouring. You know, a winter Yerushalayim rain and then a mizbech as a brand, there's a fire on the mizbech like a. Where's it? It's a Kaseid and Nisim. I saw Nisim Naslos and Beis Hamikdash. Kaseid and Nisim. And besides all that, there was the Kruvim. There was the Oren Bris Hashem, and inside the Oren Bris Hashem in the first Beis Hamikdash was the Lukas Abris, and on top of that was the Kruvim, and Ben Shnei Kruvim, and between the two Kruvim, there was Hashras Hashchina. What that means, also don't know. But that's where the Shechina was. Rav Nachman of Breslov writes in some place. He says it's Kedarko Bakoidish. He says. Says what all the philosophers have a big problem. Have a problem, even if they want to believe, and those who did believe in the Rebbeinu Shem, but the problem is that there's a world. So if the Rebbeinu Shem is omnipotent and he's omnipresent, so how's there place for, if there's one omnipresent Rebbeinu Shem, so how's there room for a world? Says Rav Nachman of Breslov comes to Beis HaMikdash and breaks him on the head, knocks him over the head. That not only is it not a kasha, but we make from the kasha the test. The Rebbeinu Shem was mitzamtzem himself. Ben Shnei Akruvim. The Shechina reduced itself, restricted itself to the place that was between the two Kruvim. So go break your heads. All right, doesn't matter. But so the Torah is mafrich the whole kasha. It's not a kasha. The Rebbeinu Shem can be in every place and he can be in one place. Are you talking? All right, with philosophy you can't understand it. In Achanam, with Seichel Anush you can't understand. That's the pshat. I think in Renachal does the same. Is break the heads of the philosophers. It's not with the head. You can the tzugang, the way it approaches, is not with derech haseichel to understand the Rebbeinu Shem. We have a derech haKabbalah. We received the Masorah from Har Sinai. Moshe Kibbul Torah Mesinai. All right. So anyway, Al Koponi, the first Beis HaMikdash was Gilui Shechina. Was the Hizgalus, was the revelation of the Shechina in the world, and that revelation of Shechina was dependent upon a place and a time that was occupied by people who would be shomer, who would protect the Torah, the purity of the Beis HaMikdash, because even though the Torah says Ashoichen Itom B'Soich Tumasam, that the Shechina is not affected by Tuma, but that's only, in other words, the whole Tzibur, say all of Klal Yisrael is Tome, the Shechina will still be there, but that's only if the Tuma is B'Shogeg. If the Tuma comes B'Shogeg, then the Shechina is not doesn't find this an unfit surrounding for it, for itself. But when the Tuma is B'Mezi, when Klal Yisrael brings the Tuma into the time and the place of the Beis HaMikdash, that Tuma, B'mezid, is interferes with the Hashuras HaShechina, and they can no longer coincide. Tuma in Beis HaMikdash, because the Shechina, the whole purpose of the Beis HaMikdash was to make a dwelling place for the Shechina. Of course, the Shechina has to have Tara. Why the Shechina is willing to dwell B'soich Tumaso, B'shoigeg, is a good question. That's Mistama Alamdisha question, but Al Kofanim the Torah tells us so that if the Tumah is B'shogeg, doesn't interfere with Shechina. But when the Tumah is B'mezid, that's already an environment, a medium which is not fit for Shechina, and the Shechina is Mistalik, and the Shechina goes away. So the three Averas that are Mefurish in the Torah that cause Tumah are Avodah Zorah, Gilui Ra'is, and Shpichus Damim. And that the Maral brings from Sukkim and Midrashim and Chazalim, that those three Averas of Gilurai, Shvichus Domim, and Avodah Zorah are the archetypes of Tumah, and are called Mefurish and Sukkim. He brings Sukkim, they're called, each one of them is a form of Tumah. So Memela, once there was the three levels of Tumah in the Mokum, in the place, in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, which the whole Tachlis was to bring Shechina into the world, if there was not Tara, there was the opposite. If there was Tuma, the Shekhinah could not coincide. It says, I mean, some of the psukim by Avodah Zorah says, Laman Tameis Mikdoshi, don't do Avodah Zorah, because it brings Gilui Arayos. It says also, Lo Sasimu Kolateva Seilo Vis. V'lo sitamu b'chol eile. Shlichus Domu says also v'lo sitamu es ha'oretz asher ani shoyachem bo. The lashon tuma is tied in with those three affairs. So when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, it was just the final, the final stage of hash. Instead of Hashroas HaShchina, Hashroas HaTuma. When Klal Yisrael, the Yetzer Hara, was misgaber and was mashrit Tuma inside their nefesh, so the Ribbono Shel Olam was mistalik, the Shechina kenegdei. As the Tuma creeps in, the Shechina exits. So there were three levels of Tuma. Avodah Zorah, Gilui Arayos, and Shvichus Domim. Those represent the three different facets, as the Maharal, of the godless of what Klal Yisrael was supposed to be, what an Odom was supposed to be at the times of the first Beis Hamikdash. Person has a moyach, has a head, that's the koach haseichel. Person has a heart, that's the passion and the ritzonos and the desires, the ruchnis ones. The person has a liver, and the liver is the koach Hagidul, the koach ha'ikol, that's the force behind growth, natural growth, digestion, behind all the physical. Somebody told me once, if you take a liver, right, liver is the most delicate organ of all the organs. You can make this transplant, that transplant, this, but the most difficult one to make is a liver transplant. And the liver would take a whole block of laboratories to produce what the chemicals the liver produces at every moment. It's an exceedingly complex organ, and the whole life is an Eivish HaNeshama Tzluya Bo, that really the liver, without a liver a person cannot live. You can live without a kidney, you can put you through dialysis, Lo Aleinu. You can live without a lot of Eivorim, at least for a while, but without a liver it's basically, if that's why it's called a liver, but that's the Gemara says, "Kav de kula dama." The covet is blood. That's life itself. The liver is the blood. Is a nefesh, ki adam hu nefesh. The nefesh akhaya, the physical life depends on liver. So Chazal tells. So these three averas, the Maharal explains, are connected those three levels of a human being: his koach hagufoni, his physical koaches, his passion and his emotional koichas, and his intellectual koichas. Avodah Zorah, of course, was a kilkul in the seichel. Mishtachavim l'tzelem. It bowed to Eitz Ve'Evan. That's a kilkul, that's a corruption of seichel. But the Meshech Chochma says, Meir Simcha says, it's an oidef of emunah. It's too much emunah. They believe in everything. Pesi yamin l'chol dorah. It's a kilkul in the seichel. It's a problem with the seichel. Gilui Arayos is a problem with the body. The person's his taivas have consumed him. That's the liver. And Shvichas Domim comes from the heart. When a person is koyas, he's angered, he's inflamed, he's consumed with the desire to be noikim v'noiter, to take revenge and avenge, and that comes from the heart. So that's Shvichas Domim. So those three aspects of the human being, the passions, the spiritual passions, were corrupted, were abused, were hijacked to kas and nekima and netira, to anger and revenge, to anger and revenge, to hatred. And the godless, the koach haguf, this is raglai mevius, this is the Beis Hamikdash, David HaMelech, his body didn't do what he thought, what he thought he needed to do, his body did what the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to do. The Goyin says, raglai mevius, this is the Beis Hamikdash, before he knew it, his legs on their own brought him to the Beis Hamikdash. Think about what he should do today, but the legs knew what to do. The legs knew, you go and you learn first, that's the first thing. or Vatira Naomi says by Naomi, she saw Ruth, Vatira Kimisametzes Hiloleches. She saw that Ruth was struggling to go. So the Goyen says that's how Naomi knew that Ruth was going to be a Ger Emes. She was an Emes Dika Ger. Because her body, she wasn't yet all on the Madrega of Dovid HaMelech. Her body was resisting doing Ratzon Hashem. Says the Goyen, that's only in the beginning. But if a person works on himself for obviously many, many years, the body does automatically what the Rebbeinu Shloim wants. Like Avraham Avinu, and the Rebbeinu Shloim told him, Lech lochom atzchom elatzcho el oretz asher areko. Go from your land to that, from your home, from your land, from your country, to the land which I'll show you. And next verse we find that Avraham was going towards Eretz Kanaan. How did he know where the Rebbeinu Shloim told him? Didn't tell him where to go. The Rebbeinu Shloim didn't give him a destination. You know, when I get on, before they get on the plane, I look at my itinerary. Otherwise, sometimes they don't know where I'm going. Right? Avraham Avinu didn't have an itinerary. Didn't know where he was going. But Raglov, have you always heard Laretz Kanan? So says the Goyen. That his legs themselves brought him. His body was so in tune, was resonating the same frequency as the Rebbeinu Shloim's Ratzon, and his body brought him. The body, which is supposed to be a chamor noises for him, is supposed to make your body like an ox and like a mule to bear the yoke of the mitzvahs. Instead, they use the body to indulge in their own lusts, their own desires. That was a corruption of that aspect, and then there was the corruption of seichel's of Eidzora, corruption of the seichel, and the corruption of the moyach, and the corruption of the kovid of the physical was the gilui arayos, which a person is supposed to use for Torah mitzvah, and the passion, which was supposed to be the passion for Avas Hashem and Yira and Tshuka and Dveikus and Hashem, was used for Nekima and Netira and Kas and Shvichas Dom. So there was the whole Adam, the godless of a human being, was destroyed. It was reduced to it's like you give a child a beautiful crystal vase. You know, who knows how much it costs. Beautiful crystal vase that can the finest cut glass that can be acquired. It can reflect every light in the spectrum, and give it to a little kid. He takes it to the beach and uses it for a sand pail. And then after he goes home, he throws it in the garbage can. Right? He throws it in the garbage can. It's a shoyt. That's what Chazal say. Cheresh shoyt of a cotton. Kulam tona b'chad maftash. Cheresh and a shoyt, a fool and a cotton. And somebody who's not able to speak in here, it's all the same problems. The seichel arbet nisht. The seichel is not working properly. It's not full function. There's a malfunction. It's a short circuit. They do foolish things. Why did you do that? It's a narishkeit. Why did you do that? There's no answer. Ask a shoyte for a kach. There's no answer. Right? Somebody, Tom Tofen told me sometimes Reb Chaim told the Rebbe, that's how he used to go ask. Before he gave his shir in the base of Midrash, whenever he gave his shir, he'd ask everybody in the base of Midrash what their kashas were in the sugya. He says, it doesn't matter, it didn't have to be good kashas. And then he would come back and lock himself in a room, and he would come out in the shir and retire every single kasha. So he said, why would Reb Chaim do that for? What, to show his godless? No, it's the pshat is that. See, a shoyt is such an unbelievably stupid thing, right? Somebody asks like an unbelievably stupid question, like it still gets you thinking, like, why did he do that? Why was it something which is so clear for me? It forces you to think about it more. You corrupt the whole Adam from the seichel to the lev to it's a malfunction. It's a process nishkin Adam. It's like you took the vase to it. You took an Adam who's got the capacity for such Torah, mitzvahs, and gluz chasadim. You took him, you reduced him to modern man. Give it a do me both. Come on, don't you? Go on the outside. Don't go on the outside. What is the head munachin? What are the big chachomim thinking about? You know, when they're not thinking about what they should be thinking about. Come on, it's not even shkadai poshut even to talk about. It's poshut mos. That's another. Take the big tumult in America today, pornography on the internet. How to stop pornography? You understand how a computer works? That's a double nifla. I still don't get it. You know, I write this long message, and I press a click, and in a second, it's in New York. The message. I don't get it. And what went there anyway? You know, it comes out the same words that I put in. What is that? I don't know.
I mamish don't know. It's a godless, a tremendous chokmah how all these things work. And to reduce it to flesh, I mean, potion modes. It's not kedai. It's kedai to take the whole computer, throw it in the garbage can, right? Why is kedai? You know, it's the biggest industry, the only industry that makes money on the internet is flesh. It's kedai. Should throw it away. Throw it in the garbage can. Who needs it? So this is that's all done. Who needs it? The Rebbeinu took a base of mikdash and threw it away. Because the base of mikdash was a reflection of what an adam is supposed to be. The base of mikdash was just a reflection of what the human being is supposed to be. So the Novi Yecheskel says, Heichel Hashem Heimo, that Am Yisrael is called the Heichel. Am Yisrael themselves were like the base of mikdash. Heichel Hashem Heimo. The Novi Yecheskel he chastises the Jewish people, and chastises the Jewish people. Says, then he tells them, look at the Tzuras Habayis, Mevoyo of Hadorah. I don't remember the whole Lashon. But said, look at the structure of the Beis Hamikdash. He's Baishu V'Yikom, and then he says, you should be ashamed of yourselves for sinning. Nefesh HaChayim says, what do you mean? You should look at the blueprints of the Beis Hamikdash and then be ashamed of yourselves for your sins. He says, yeah, because it's the same blueprint. That's the physical. That's the physical part, the stone, the wooden stone human being, and then there's the human being, the flesh and blood. Right? The base of mikdash is built exactly like a human being, and Chazal speak about the parallels, the Maharal speaks about the parallels between the human being and the base of mikdash, but the Novi says it, Dvorim Bruim, Heichel Hashem Heimo. Am Yisrael is the base of mikdash is Am Yisrael. So if you take the Adam, which is a mirror, there are mere images of each other. The base of mikdash and klaus are mere images. You take the heichal Hashem and you reduce it to shvichas dom gilurayis and avodah, which is the whole thing. That's it. I mean, there's nothing left. The seichel is gone. The heart is gone. The body is gone. Finished. It's gone. It's not worth it. So it's gone. So it's gone. It's gone. Finished. The person destroyed the base of mikdash. Allowed the destruction of the base of mikdash. That was what the Maharal says. Bitul ha'odem. That was the first base of mikdash. Was human beings had tremendous koichos and nefesh, tremendous potential as individuals to achieve tremendous things. You had people who did tremendous things on both sides of the spectrum. Hein l'toyv, hein l'mutar. But the final result of all this godless, of all this greatness in human beings, you could have Ruach HaKodesh, and you could have Nevuah, and it could be Nisim Gluyim, and you could have Sanhedrin, you could have Milchamas Hashem with Milchamas David, with the Nisim Gluim that were in those Mechor. All that, if in the end it was reduced to Shvichas Domim, Gilur Ayis, and Avodah Zorah, so isn't it time to rethink whether people should be so great, have so much Koichas? Maybe it's time to rethink, you know, like the Melachim Tov. Ma'enesh Kisis Karen. What is so great about this thing that you created here? You go to Bill Gates. What is so great about what you created here? What is so great about it? Yeah, potential to have Gewaldig. Movies. You go to Hollywood, all the Jewish businesses. What's so great about what you created? You reduce it to the most disgusting, revolting, basis element of a human being. What's so great? Get rid of it. It's time to rethink the whole thing. It's time to rethink. It's chaval. And that's it. It's finished. That whole tkufa was over. When the destruction of the base of Mikdash came to the destruction of the godless of other. There was no more after that godless of the yochid, as an individual. Then there was a golus, and there were brother kapora, and the second base of mikdash was a new paragraph. That was a new era in the history of Klausel, and then the Kodesh Baruch Hu's expectations and anticipations from Klausel were completely different. Wasn't anymore the issue of godless of Adam, but it was the godless of Klausel. Am Yisrael Zanam, which you may have to, in order to achieve that, reduce the potential, the raw potential of each individual, because we can imagine we have a lot of, you know, what if we had a yeshiva here, you know, everybody had 160 IQ? I mean, you guys be climbing the walls, right? You know, there's a certain amount of tension and anxiety that's created by tremendous potential. You know, we saw what happened to all that potential in the first place. Well, a new paradigm. Now we'll go for a whole different mahalach. And that was the second base of mikdash. Was a completely different expectation, completely different plan for Klal Yisrael. And that was to function as Am Yisrael, as an Am Echad. Sin is destroyed them. So Mietzah Hashem, we'll talk about them in the next session.
Oh.